Blog Talk Radio.
I don't know, we may come back Sunday or Monday, but I gotta go to my...
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be dangerous.
Hello and welcome to this edition of your half-hour inspirational program. I'm your host, I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 30 seconds. Thank you so very much for tuning in. We have a continuation of last week's broadcast. Tonight's broadcast, as a follow-up, is Reasons to Give Thanks, Part 2. Reasons to Give Thanks, Part 2. We have been talking about the Ten Commandments series. That's found in Exodus 20, the Tenth Commandment series. And tonight, as a segment of that, the reason to give thanks, when I think about the Ten Commandments, one of the things that I think about that comes to mind is that God created, when he wrote the Ten Commandments, those first four commandments had to do with man's relationship to his creator. God being the creator, you think about it, he created you. Without him, nothing was created. So that gives him the right, I would think. God doesn't need the right from anybody. He is God. He is. It seems out of obligation, man would want to freely worship God, and that's what God has done. He's given man that opportunity to freely worship him. And so, man can choose to not worship God if he elects to do that. And that's the free will that God gives him. And God still blesses him, even with him not accepting him as his personal savior or even believing in him. God still sends the sunshine. He sends the rain, the weather conditions. That man is receiving the same blessings as, for example, an atheist is receiving the same blessings that someone that doesn't even, believes in God. So you have all of that going. You have the atheist that doesn't believe in God who's receiving the same blessings in terms of the sunlight. The beauty of the moon, the stars, the galaxy that he can look at. So God's love is so great, it's so powerful that he even loves those that don't even love him back. And now, so tonight, as I think about the Ten Commandments, and God creating man, which gives that communication, that relationship, those first four, man's relationship to God, man's relationship to his creator, and then the other six that deals with man's relationship to each other, to his fellow man. And so what comes to mind is this, that he loves us so much that he even wanted us to have companionship on our level, compatible. And oftentimes, unfortunately, some people get married, but what happens is they're not compatible. And my take on this is not all marriages are of God. The institution of marriage is of God, but not all marriages are of God. And so people sometimes go into their marriages, and marriage is one of the most powerful foundations, one of the most powerful institutions that was orchestrated by God, that's endorsed by God, that's God's prize thing, you know, being part of his prize for the creation of man. And so when you look at this institution, you're looking at something that God himself has orchestrated, God himself has ordained, and it's along with the lines of the Sabbath. You know, even though a lot of people figure their holy day is maybe Sunday, or and some subscribe to the notion of Saturday being their holy day. And then, but still, the day that you worship, you know, some people may ask the question, is it really important, the day of worship? You know, why can't I worship on God on a Tuesday? Why can't I worship God on a Wednesday? What's so important? People begin to ask these questions. Well, if we're going to ask that, then are we trying to make amendments? Are we trying to make adjustments to God's Ten Commandments? These were, again, now, these are not suggestions. These are commandments. These are orders. These are rules that God has given man to live by. And so if we're going to try to go in and make alterations, or we're going to try to make revisions, then you're infringing on something that God has put out there that by no means man is capable of going in to do something to make an amendment on what God has put out as his rules. So now, when we look at the Ten Commandments and God's rules for man's living, because he talks about in his rules man's relationship with man, man's relationship with his creator, man's relationship with his fellow man. When you think about it, he talks about adultery and how wrong that is, because if you're going in and infringing on someone else's spouse, you know, there are going to be complications from that that can later haunt you in life. In a number of cases, it can even infringe on relationships that your children can have. And people don't realize this, that these third and fourth generation curses that come down, they're coming down from a result of man's, the sins that were cast upon the fathers. And when we talk about fathers, we're talking about, basically, we're talking about parents. We're talking about mankind. When we talk about fathers, we're not just talking about the men. We're talking about mothers as well. And so these sins are transcended down to the third and fourth generations. And people don't realize that, oh, my goodness, is this happening to my kid? And if you follow your lineage, if you begin to follow this and look at some of the things that took place in your life, and then you start to look at maybe your parents' life, maybe your parents were together forever, you know, but then there may have been one of those parents may have done something that you don't even know about, or it could have been a grandparent or a great-grandparent. Something somewhere along the way, something happened, and then there's that generational curse that just transcends down. And you begin to wonder, and then we can go back even to the Garden of Eden, our first parents. As a result of disobedience, those things that were transcended, the day that you surely touch this fruit, the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Once those words are spoken by God, once he put this order out there, it does not come back void to him. It doesn't. It's the same way that when he sent the word out, let there be light. Darkness couldn't come. Light had to come. It manifests. Whatever God sends out, that's what has to happen. God is not man that he changes his mind. Don't let anybody fool you on that. I've heard a lot of people say, well, God changed his mind. If it's written in the Bible scripture that infers that, God already knew what he was going to do. And it's just that one person might believe he changed his mind. He changed his mind. The scripture tells us that it repented God to his heart that he had made man. He wished he hadn't made man. But God, I mean, God can say this to himself, you know, because of the disobedience that man has. It's like every other creature will respect and know that there is a God. But man, with his free will, does not give God the reverence that he deserves. You know, so when we talk about tonight, the reasons to give thanks, even the ones who don't even subscribe to the belief in God, the ones who just feel like, you know what, there is no God. Let me live my life any kind of way that I want. You know, it saddens me to even think this. So when you hear that pause, it saddens me to even think that people will not believe in God. It's too perfect, folks. It's too perfect to not have a supreme being that's not man, that's spirit, and it's God. God is. So when we think about reasons to give thanks, there are so many reasons to give thanks. Right now, there are a number of people, perhaps around the world, that are getting ready to celebrate what some believe to be the birth of Christ, December 25th. Others who may have read their Bibles and understand that December 25th is not the birth date of Jesus Christ. And if you look at the Bible, it gives you another season. It gives you a different season, whereas Christ could possibly have been born. But yet man has gone through a tradition to decide he's going to celebrate Christmas December the 25th for whatever reason that makes it convenient for him. So the whole world goes out, and well, not necessarily the whole world, but a number of individuals go out, and they subscribe to the notion that Christ has been born on December the 25th. So what they do is they go in and they purchase a Christmas tree. Now, I'm not here to pass judgment on anyone. That's not what this program is about. I'm not passing judgment. I think that I am certainly one who believe in celebrating throughout the holidays. Christmas, Christ is the reason for the season. The Christmas tree perhaps represents paganism, some have identified it as. There is no way that I'm suggesting or inferring that we worship a tree. That is not what I'm suggesting. I'm saying, you know, it depends on how you interpret or look at the tree. You know, just a token, a symbol to represent something where you can place gifts up under. But, you know, I want to send a message out to all the listening audience around the world tonight, and I want to prayerfully suggest to you all something. And that is, I want you to think about, you know, what Christmas really means to you, the Christ in Christmas, what it really means to you. Is it just the notion of receiving gifts for yourself so you can be excited, you can be happy? And remember, happiness is different from joy. We're talking about reasons to give thanks. Happiness is different from joy. When you've got joy, when things happen in your life, you know, you can still keep your head up. You can still smile. You may feel a little pain, but joy comes from Christ. Joy comes from God, because joy can sustain you no matter what you've encountered in life. Joy can sustain you, but when you're only happy, for happiness only lasts for a moment. It's not a season, because someone can say something. They can give you a gift. Let's talk about Christmas. And then all of a sudden you feel, oh, this gift is nice. You feel a woman can love her husband or a husband love his wife because of the gift that they gave, they received. And now you're happy for the moment. But that same evening, that husband may say something offensive to that wife or vice versa. And now she's sad or he's sad. And now, because earlier they were happy. But see, when you got joy, you might not be feeling like you like your spouse for the moment, but the love does not disappear. It doesn't disappear. And see, when we think about Christ, the season, the reason for the season, you know, what we actually should be doing is finding our brothers out there and our sisters who are less fortunate than we are, Those are the ones that we need to be sharing gifts with. But the gifts need to be the things that these people need. And we shouldn't just stop at a season of Christmas. Christ gives us the sunshine daily. He gives us the air that we breathe daily. He gives us the moonlight. He gives us the cosmic system out there. But see, we all get excited. We get happy in that moment. Oh, now, because I'm happy, I'm going to give a donation to this man who's homeless. But what about the other 364 days of the year? Do you ever think about that man who's homeless? Do you think about that little child who is out there with a family, a mother who's on the corner holding up a sign, "We'll work for food," or "lost my job"? Do you think about them, or are you just happy for the Christmas season because you want to go have a drink, you want to party? And again, I'm not here to pass judgment on anyone. But I want you to really, if we're going to call ourselves followers of Christ, or if we're going to say we're going to celebrate Christmas, are we celebrating a tradition that man has put out here? Are we worshiping a tree? What is it that we're really doing? Are we just spreading gifts to people that don't really even need them when we got a third of the world living in depressed situations? Children who are starving and dying all over the world. Do we ever even think about them? Every time we sit down and we take a bite of food and we waste so much, living particularly in America, we are very wasteful. You know, but do you ever think about when you see on television those children who have the parasites become misers, the body is eating from itself? How can we call ourselves celebrating something? And don't get me wrong, and I'm very passionate about this, because there comes a point in time when we've got to become our brother's keeper. We're going to be held accountable for this. Have you given a dollar to one of these programs to just make life better for somebody else? You know, living in a country where there are people who are dying daily, how can we look in a mother's eyes when she knows even that her own child that she bore is going to die of starvation because she can't find food? When we are an obese society, have more than enough. We throw away. We're wasteful. We will give account of that. And God, I can tell you tonight on this broadcast, God is not pleased with that. God is going to hold us accountable. Sure, we take care of our families. We say, what else am I supposed to do? If you have the means, you're supposed to reach out and help those that are less fortunate. It's not just about you and your family. It's about other people. You know, when we call ourselves God, he's going to say it one day. I was hungry, and you fed me not. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. And then the people are going to ask, well, God, when were you hungry, and we fed you not? When were we thirsty, and we gave you no drink? He said, inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. See, so when we are turning our backs on the people who are in need, let me tell you something. I don't care who it is. That goes for me. Me first. We are turning our backs on the living God himself. Because, you see, we are all God's children. No matter where we've come from, no matter who we are, no matter what our race, our ethnicity, our religious practices, we are all God's children. And until we can get it in our hearts and into our minds that, you know what, if we want to make the world a better place, then we need to open up our hearts for the people who are less fortunate. I mean, put yourself in their place. What if it was you? Would you want somebody out there in some country to give you a piece of bread? You know, dogs in some countries eat better than humans. Now, something is wrong with that picture. We are living in the millennium. This is 2013. We're getting ready to go into 2014. Are we going to go into 2014 the same way we were? 2013, 2012, 2011, 2010. Are we going to go into 2014 the same way and celebrate with our families, our friends, and just make it about them? Are we going to pay our tithes to the church and say, Lord, I do all of this stuff, just like the rich man came to Christ and said, you know, Lord, what can I do to be saved? God, Christ told him, give up all your possessions and follow me. That man thought Christ was out of his mind because he had plenty of wealth. And he figured, you know what? I can't give up all of this, all I've accomplished. You know, I wouldn't have anything for. But he failed to realize that to follow Christ means eternal life, eternal life. So I submit to you all out there tonight that's listening to this broadcast. This broadcast is not asking you for anything except when you hear the words that I'm uttering tonight, I'm making an appeal. Please, please, for the love of God, don't go into 2014 the same way that you were in 2013, 2012, 2011, 2010. Help somebody and commit to helping them throughout the year. If you're living in America, America is rolling over with, it's a land of milk and honey. And I'm telling you, and let me tell you something, even sometimes being the poorest in America is better than the people who don't have a welfare system in their countries to help people with assisted living conditions to be able to eat. And I'm telling you, that you could have been born in any one of these places. You could have been born. God has blessed America. Reasons, I don't know why, and some countries are not blessed. Maybe it's not for me to understand. It's not for me to comprehend. It's not for me to judge. But I can tell you this. Every one of us that turns our back on those that are in need, we are going to have to give account of that. You know, I'm telling you, we say, well, God, I took care of my children. I took care of my spouse. I took care of my family, my nephews, my nieces. No, no, it's not just about them. All are God's children. All are God's children. And all deserve, all man is created equal in the eyes of God. And God is no respecter of persons. So he expects us to do what we need to do for our fellow man. Not just to receive, and not to receive the glory. The glory should be given to God. Don't just do like that wealthy guy or some people who say, well, I give to the rich. I give to the poor. I give donations. I feed the hungry. You know what? Get off of your ego. Get off of that ego trip and do it with the love of God in your heart. I appeal to you all tonight. Think about somebody else, not just during this holiday season. Think about somebody else all year long. Find a family, maybe. There may be a man who's lost his job, a woman whose husband has walked out on her. She might have 3 or 4 kids. And she doesn't even have a clue of where the next meal is coming from. Put yourself in that woman's place. Do you know how much pain that is for her to sit there and try to maybe boil some water with no rice to put in it and just maybe make a cup of tea with some lemon and give these children just so that they can have something in their stomach? No, not even having milk in the house. You perhaps, those of you all that are listening to me tonight, may have never encountered something as critical as that. So you don't understand it. You don't, because your life is so good. Because this evening, before you can go in your refrigerator and make a choice of anything that you want, and even when you don't even like what's in the refrigerator, you can go to the store, get in your luxury vehicle, go to the store and buy you something, or a restaurant, you know, and complain. But yet these people, all they have is crying out to God just for a simple meal, sometimes to feed their children. And then how can we sleep comfortably at night and celebrate the Christmas season and sing joy to the world? Joy, really, really? Joy to the world? Or just joy to some countries? Let me tell you, God is not pleased. And we, you know, we'll get up on our day of worship, whether it's a Saturday worship or a Sunday worship. You know, we go to church, we praise the Lord, we go home, we have our meals. But guess what? Those people in the developing countries, some of you all know some of them, they don't know where their next meal is coming from. They don't know it. While we go, we sit around with gifts, they don't have a gift to even give a child. Story's told about a young man, the age of 9. The mother had so many children that all she could do was give her children. She had 9 kids, and all she could do was just give them a fruit every year. Every year for Christmas, for a number of years. Can you imagine a child getting an orange for Christmas when all of his neighbors, all of his peers, all the children on the block, they're getting all kinds of toys? Their mother did the very best that she could do. You know, there was no husband. He left, abandoned her for another woman. But yet and still, their mother tried to do the best she could. There are mothers out there today that are still doing the same thing, pressing to them because they can't feed their children. Well, you say, well, she should not have had that many children. Come on, really? 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 What gives you the right to judge her? What gives you the right? Her husband walked out on her. Maybe it's never happened to you, and I pray to God it doesn't happen to you. Because you don't know somebody else's pain until you've walked in their shoes. And you count your blessings every single day that God has blessed you. We're out of time, but if this program has been a blessing to you, you need to get on the phone. You need to tell somebody else. You know what? This Christmas is going to be a different Christmas for me. Instead of me expecting gifts so much, from family, from friends, from relatives, all over the place, I'm going to get into the habit of giving to those that are less fortunate. You know what? That's where your joy starts to come. But give from the heart, not with any expectation of receiving. But, you know, and you're asking those that, you're going to give me a gift, let's think about giving to somebody else that's less fortunate. And let's not just think about giving during Christmas time. Let's think about giving all year long. Because anybody can have a soup kitchen for Christmas because the world is excited. The world is excited. But guess what? People still have to eat after Christmas. They still have to. And God is going to ask this question. You know, I asked for food, and you gave me no food. I asked for drink, and you gave me no drink. Imagine if you were in the place of someone that needed food, a meal. Think about it. When you want them to give you bread versus a stone, you don't ever know when you could be walking in somebody else's shoes. None of us, no human being, I don't care how much money we've got. Money is just a tool. It's just a tool. And I know we need it because that's what our society has set up to get things. You know, the haves and the have-nots. But even with the little that you have, we talk about the woman that fed the prophet. And she thought she was down to her last meal. But she realized, you know, she fed him, and then he told her, go look. And her covenant was overflowing. We're out of time, but I want you to think about this program and think of all the reasons that you have to give thanks. That's been our broadcast tonight. Join us next Tuesday for a live show of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. If you choose to miss us next Tuesday, join us once again next Friday for your half-hour inspirational program. And remember, call somebody. Tell them about the love of God and his expectations of all of us. Until next Tuesday or until next Friday, good night, God bless, and thank you, God.